Your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And there came two angels to Sodom at Eden. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only to these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Sons-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up! Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is nearer to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither, is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger son also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we read this passage, and shall we say it this way? Lot's a pretty big target, isn't he? He does a lot of things in this chapter that are sinful. There are many sins that are charged to Lot's account here. His daughters also. Many sins chargeable to their account. So I thought it might be helpful this time through Genesis 19, maybe to look at Lot under the character of righteous Lot. Under the character of righteous Lot, because that is indeed what the Apostle Peter calls him. He is called righteous Lot by an inspired apostle writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And while it may not appear to us here that Lot is behaving himself in a very righteous manner, and most certainly some of his behavior in this chapter is definitely and decidedly unrighteous, there are several things that he does that point to his righteousness, if we would just open our eyes and look. Remember how I told you in the last hour that there is this parallel, and I believe it is a decided parallel, on the part of the author Moses, with regard to Abraham and Lot. And so, here come the three strangers. Abraham is at the front of his tent complex, in the door of his tent, looking out to see how he might be hospitable. Where is Lot? He's in the gate of the city, looking for travelers. And so, he has the same kind of commitment to godly hospitality that Abraham has. What does Abraham do? He invites them into his home to have a meal. What does Lot do? He invites the two strangers, the two angels, into his home to have a meal. He does not know that they're angels at this point. He invites them into his home to have a meal and to spend the night with him. And he says, just like Abraham did in the last chapter, this is the reason why you've come to me. Did you hear that in the passage? He says it just like Abraham did. This is why you've come here, so that I could draw you into my house, so that I could provide for you. There's a little bit of a different circumstance. Lot knows the men of the city, and so he wants to get them off the street and into his home. Again, he has a godly concern for them. Remember that Lot no longer is living. Well, because it's a continuing narrative, isn't it? In chapter 13, when they separated, Remember that Lot dwelt near the cities of the plain, in the country. Here we find him. He has come into town now. He has a house in Sodom. Now, we don't know why. The narrative doesn't tell us. But can we just say it this way? If we make the wrong choices, that certain wrong choices often lead to other wrong choices. And so when he chose the cities of the plain because they were well watered, rather than remembering that the men of the plain were wicked men, then it seems that one wrong choice led to another, and now he's even in the city, not just living outside of the city. He's not kept himself separated with a proper kind of separation, and we see the dividends that that plays in the lifestyle of Lot. All right, so then he draws the two angels into his house, and he sets a feast before them, again, just like Abraham. So you see the parallels here. This is not a man that is unrighteous. He is a righteous man. He's making a lot of mistakes in this passage. But he is not an unrighteous man. He does not have any, he does have some godly concerns. He's not devoid of godly concern. All right, so then the men of the city come, and they have a demand, and their demand is an illicit demand. Remember that when we remember the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, we remember one particular sin, don't we? It is a sin that is particularly rampant in our country in these days, and like one religious leader said, if God does not destroy America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord is not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah either. We will repent, or we will be a smoking mess as well. But notice here also that in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and following, the Lord is very careful to tell us what the sin of Sodom was. And it is not what you might think. In Ezekiel 16, 49 and following, what was the sin of thy sister Sodom? Pride, fullness of bread, prosperous ease was in her and in her daughters. Therefore, they were haughty and committed abomination against me. You see, when we give ourselves to our leisure, to our prosperous ease, to our indulgence, then nothing is off of the table. And that's what happened in Sodom. And that was the sin of Sodom. We only see the final manifestation of it here in this chapter, that these men want them to come out so that they might abuse them. What does Lot do? He protects them. Again, another righteous act. He comes out himself, hazarding his own safety, right? Hazarding his own safety, putting himself in between the men and the angels. And so we see again. And we see him also calling the men of the city what? Wickedly. Wicked. Do not this wickedness, or do not so wickedly, brethren. He appeals to them as brethren. And yet he calls them out on their wickedness. Once again, very important that we see some good here in Lot. Then what do they say to him? Oh, this man came to us as a sojourner, and now he's become our judge. And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this, and please have the courage of Lot to call out sin and to stand against it. Have the courage of Lot. I know Lot gets a bad rap in this passage, but notice that he places himself in between the angels and the wicked men, calls them out on their wickedness, and hazards his own life in doing so. Have the courage of Lot to stand against the wickedness of our day. And when you have opportunity to speak against it and call it what it is, wickedness. Of course, then their anger is turned upon Lot, and they say, well, we're going to do worse to you than we ever thought to do to them. And Lot makes that terrible, terrible bargain with his daughters, which pays a terrible dividend later, doesn't it? All right, so then the angels smite the men with blindness, and they weary themselves to find the door. And this just shows that again, among the wicked, there is no remedy save Jesus Christ. Right? Miracle faith is not saving faith. They were struck with blindness, and they wearied themselves to find the door. All right, so then it's time to leave the city. They get up in the morning, it's time to leave the city, and I know that some of you have been reading or listening to Holiness by J.C. Ryle. He's got a wonderful chapter. He names it Lot lingered. Lot lingered. Lot had become complacent. Lot had lost his edge. And so while we see many righteous things in Lot in this passage, when it's time to leave, he is complacent. He doesn't yet see the danger that he is in. And doesn't that characterize Lot ever since he went down to Sodom? Hasn't he failed to see the danger that he was in and his family was in, even in that first step that he took toward the cities of the plain when he left Abraham? And so it continues here. Lot lingers because he has mingled himself with the unrighteous, and suddenly he has lost his edge. His edge for holiness has been blunted. His edge understanding God's judgment has been blunted. He has somehow lost his understanding of the hatred that God has for sin, and that God will most assuredly act. And so Lot lingered. But the angels, they would not let him linger long. They took him by the hand. They took his wife by the hand. They took his daughters by the hand. And they brought him out and his family forcibly, dragging them if they would not go out of the city, because the command of God was on them to save the righteous. And so here they come out of the city. So Lot lingered. He had lost his edge. Then we see also that his wife, probably an unbeliever, turns back, and she is turned into a pillar of salt as a testimony to what Jesus said later in the Gospels: anyone putting his hand forth to the plow and turning back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Not fit for the kingdom of God. Those who come right up to the edge of Christ's city, those who come right up to the edge of Reformation town and look and say, no thank you, too hard, too difficult, God really won't punish, will he? Not fit for the kingdom of God. The other thing that J.C. Ryle brings up in the chapter on Lot, and I think it's an interesting chapter, is that while Lot himself seemed to maintain at least something of a modicum of righteousness in his understanding, that he had so very little influence upon his townmates and his family, that he left a very little wake behind him for the sake of righteousness. And so this is a reminder to us, what wake are we leaving for the sake of the kingdom of God behind us? What kind of influence are we having over our loved ones, friends, families, co-workers, grocer, baker, whoever else it is that we deal with? Are they smelling the sweet savor of Christ when they come into contact with us? This is the question. It's a good question, I think. All right, so then we see that the conversation changes. Lot stops speaking to you, plural, and he says, my Lord. And so it seems that our third personage that spoke with Abraham has now left Abraham, joined the angels in the cities of the plain, has revealed himself as the prominent one among the three, and Lot now begins conversing with him. And Lot says, can't I just go to Zoar? I don't want to flee the plain and go up into the mountains. It's dangerous up there. There are wild animals. Maybe that was why he moved into Sodom in the first place. Maybe there was some event that living in the wilderness brought about. I don't know. But what I do know is he says, I don't want to go into the mountains. Let me go into this little city. It's just a little city. In other words, it's not the great city like Sodom and Gomorrah with all the wickedness. It's just a little city. Let me flee there if I have found grace in thy sight. And he had. The Lord had shown him grace. The Lord had shown him mercy. And so he continues to do so and grants him his request that he may flee into Zoar. Again, we see the kindness and condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his servant who has manifested some lack of concern, some terrible lack of concern here. So into Zoar he goes. We see Abraham standing on the prow of the hill where he had last talked with Yahweh, looking over the cities of the plain, and we see him resting in God's mercy, not mounting up his 318 men to see if they need to go rescue Lot again, but instead knowing that God has a merciful plan for himself and for Lot. And so we see him just observing the judgment of God from afar. We think of Lot and Abraham and some of the similarities that they've shown, but now we see the grand difference, don't we? That Abraham is safe, far away from wickedness, observing the judgment as it takes place. Lot, who although righteous, had placed himself in the midst of wickedness, is now troubled on every side, and yet will indeed be delivered. But yet, even in that deliverance, will find trouble, giving birth as he does through illicit means of his two daughters to two great enemies of Israel, Moab and Ammon, leaving Zoar and fleeing up into the hills. And again, we're not told exactly why. It just says that he went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. He was reluctant to go to the mountain before. Now he is in the mountain. Perhaps the men of Zoar rose up. They were no longer so gracious to him as when he first came there, like the men of Sodom. And so they drove him out. It doesn't say, but he left Sodom, he left Zoar, he's in the mountains, and he has no one to watch over his soul. And so here he is with just him and his daughters. And they have a very human way, a very carnal way to prosecute what they think is the best thing. Brothers and sisters, let us remember that the outcomes belong to God and the means belong to us. They took up an outcome that they thought was good, and in order to achieve that outcome, they took up illicit means, which never belongs to the people of God. And in thinking that they would preserve their father's name, as a matter of fact, we hardly remember Lot when we think of Moab and Ammon. We think rather of the enemies of Israel. They became the enemies of God's people. And so think of Lot then, allowing himself to be so deceived as he did. Thinking of the legacy that he left, giving birth to two nations of the enemies of the elect, of the enemies of God's people. Certainly not a legacy that, from what we know of Lot, he would have wanted to leave. But it all started when he took his first step toward Sodom instead of seeking first the kingdom of God. Thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter 19.